Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Remember to visit our website at www.revivalministry.co.za, where you can sign up to receive more of these powerful messages.
Last week I was actually sharing with our leaders in the church that God's Spirit moves in waves. And there's this wave that comes, and we love the waves of revival, right? We love the waves when there's massive new things happening and things are changing quickly. But in between waves, there's periods of downtime, right? Anyone experienced that there's this movement and then there's some downtime? And I was saying to the leaders, I feel like we're in this time of waiting. It's been a lot of action and been a lot of activities, and God wants us to focus back in on His heart, focus back in on what He's doing in the Spirit. And that's why there's this call to rest, but with anticipation. This call to rest in His presence, but really be aware of what God is doing in the season. And so, it's so fitting what Justin ministered, because Jesus was called out into the wilderness to be tested. His human nature was tested. And he was drawn out into the wilderness just after being baptized and hearing the audible voice of God saying, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." And yeah, God the Father comes and He speaks that over Jesus. So many men have never heard the words, "My Son, you make me well pleased. You are my Son." Never mind from their biological fathers. But they've never experienced God saying, "You're my Son." So many women have never heard, "You're my daughter, in whom I am well pleased." And yet Jesus hears this audibly, and everyone hears it, and immediately He's sent out into the wilderness. And being prepared to be tested, Jesus never ate, and he didn't drink for 40 days. So obviously he became hungry. And in his hunger and in his thirst, the enemy comes to test him. And what are the first words the enemy says? "If you are my son." If you are God's son, sorry. "If you are God's son, say to these rocks, speak to these rocks, and they'll become bread." And that's the first test that Jesus went through, is who is His source? Where does His source of fulfillment come from? And His source of fulfillment obviously is God the Father. And Jesus says, we know this part so well, He says in Matthew 4 verse 4, He says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Man will not live by bread alone, but by every word. Say every word that comes from the mouth of Lord. And he's quoting a scripture. Now I've just lost my reference. But he's quoting the scripture because of this fact. Firstly, the word of God is so alive in him. But secondly, that word bread doesn't just refer to your baguette, your loaf of bread, that which you eat. The root word where that word bread comes from is it sounds like airo. It's if you go airo in Hebrew, okay? That's what it sounds like. And what it means is to raise up, to elevate, to raise from the ground, to pick up stones, to raise upwards, to elevate, to lift the hand, to draw up, to fish, to go fishing, to take upon oneself and carry what has been raised up to bear. In other words, to work. And so Jesus comes against the enemy who's saying, are you really beloved of God? Does he really love you? Does he really know your name? Come on, the enemy comes to us as people, and he challenges us as people when the waves of revival recede, when there's rest time and we're supposed to be drawing into the presence of God and just resting in his presence. The enemy comes and says, oh, are you really loved? Are you really called by name? Did God really make you to be fruitful and to prosper and to multiply? Did he really bring you to this place with a purpose? And so he challenges us. And the reason Jesus went through all of that testing was so that he would break the stronghold over everything we would go through as people, over everything that all mankind has been through, and over everything that mankind would go through. So anything Jesus was tested in, it is because mankind had been tested it and will be tested in it. And so he stood there and he said, the scripture says man will not live by bread alone, i.e. man will not have to prove himself by his actions. Man will not have to prove himself by what he does. But I live by every word of the Lord. I come alive because of every word of God spoken over me. So Jesus was saying, man will not live by his own efforts, but he'll live by the word that comes out of his mouth, out of God's mouth. So if we're sustained by every word that comes out of God's mouth, then we must be able to hear it with certainty. We must be able to hear his words with certainty. And that's good. Everyone agreed with me there. Everyone agreed with that point. Problem is, sometimes we don't hear him so clearly. Sometimes we I don't know if it's because maybe sometimes we're hard of hearing, or maybe sometimes because God just hasn't spoken yet. If you're praying into something, if you're trusting God for something, anyone in this room trusting God for something? Okay, 80% of you. Others, you guys are all sorted. I'm trusting for things. You're trusting for things. How many of you have been trusting for something and you go back in your journal and you realize, wow, I've been writing about this for 2 years now. Been praying about the same thing for 2 years. Let me tell you, you're not alone. Pastor Daniel is also waiting for things. Also trusting for things. David cried out, God, where are you? Why have you hidden your face from me? How long will you forget me? Anyone felt like that? Anyone going, God, have you literally, there are 7 billion people on earth and you forgot about me. Hello. David said, how long will you hide your face from me? And here's the thing. How long must I wrestle with my own thoughts in my head? Psalm 13. You see, the thing that happens is, if we forget that we're beloved, and we forget that we can just rest in his presence and not strive, we start wrestling with our own thoughts. Jesus looked at that stone and said, I'm not going to even try by my own efforts, because God says, I'll live according to his words. every word of His. In Deuteronomy 8 verse 3, it says, "And He humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that you might recognize and know that God does not live by bread, but man lives by every word that comes out of His mouth." So, that was the scripture I was looking for. Just didn't see my reference. Moses looked out over the people and he said, "God humbled you and allowed you to hunger, but fed you with manna." Why? Why did He feed them with manna? So that He could feed them with something they did not know. Something they had never seen before. Something they had never heard before. It links to Isaiah 64. The prophet Isaiah said, "For since the world began, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like You, who works for those who wait for Him. You welcome those who gladly do good, who follow godly ways." Listen to that. "For since the world began, no ear has heard, no eye has seen." Paul quoted it in the Corinthians. He says, this is why the scripture says, what the eye has not seen, what the ear has not heard. You see, in times of rest, God wants to show us something we've never seen before and never heard before. This is such a good point. Way better than your response. God wants to show you something you've never seen or never heard before. And the only way He can do that is if we're listening. Many times I've gone to God and I've said, "God, I need an answer. Give me a scripture." God says, "I want to speak to you. I want to speak to you. Just rest. Just wait and listen for My voice. Just hear Me." God says this morning He wants us to forget the old ways that have held us in bondage. The molds. In order to hear God's word, we must be able to hear what has never been heard before and see what has never been seen before. That's the mind of Christ. See, Jesus was that which no man had ever seen before. That which no man had ever heard before. But the Bible tells us that we get His mind. We get His spirit. That means we're so aware of God's newness, of what God wants to give us that is fresh, that which is wholesome, that which is real. And God's wisdom at work in us relies on our ability to lean into Him, to trust Him, even when it doesn't make sense to our natural senses. So often I'll be tempted to want to lean in and trust God. And while I'm doing that, I'm looking around going, "But is everything lining up? Is everything standing straight? Is everything in order?" God's saying, "It's not going to make sense to your natural senses. Faith goes way beyond what is natural. Faith goes way beyond what you can look back and understand. Faith really is stepping in to what you've never seen or never heard before. Human wisdom relies on what it can prove based on past experience. But God's wisdom doesn't work that way. So I say that again. Human wisdom relies on what it can prove based on what it has experienced in the past. God's wisdom doesn't work that way. That's why He says, "I'll confound the wise with that which is foolish to them." Does that make sense? That there's three temptations I want to talk about that distract us when God is trying to speak. These are the three temptations. The first is to go back to the old ways. In Matthew 16, Jesus said, "Be on your guard against the leaven of the Pharisees." Peter wrote, he said, "You must know that you were redeemed from the useless ways, from the useless way of living inherited by the tradition of the forefathers." See, there's a temptation in mankind that says, instead of trusting in God for what is new, I'm going to lean back on what is tradition. I'm going to lean back on what comes from old. Because you know what? That's safe. I understand that. My brain understands that. And guess what else? I don't have to have faith to apply what was established in the past. So I'm just going to live according to the traditions. I'm just going to do things in the traditional way. And if I do everything right, it's all going to work out. And Peter says, you must know that you were redeemed from the useless way. That's his words, not mine. The useless ways of living inherited by tradition from the forefathers. In Hebrews 9 verse 8, it says, by this the Holy Spirit points out that the way into the true Holy of Holies. Come on, the Holy of Holies is a place where you walk in and you experience God's presence and you know that He is speaking and you know what He is saying and you are in reverential awe of His presence 24/7. The Holy Spirit says, He points out that the way into that Holy of Holies is not open as long as the former outer portion of the tabernacle remains an institution and is still standing. I want to speak to Christians today. There are some Jewish beliefs that some Christians hold onto. And the Holy Spirit is pointing out that if those remain institutionalized in their belief systems, they will not experience the Holy Spirit or walk into the Holy of Holies. God came and said to His children, that is now no longer what we do. I've torn that curtain. I've ripped it out. I've taken the law and I've placed it on our hearts and our minds so that our hearts and our minds can respond in faith to the Spirit and no longer go back to traditions. But as long as we hold on to the tradition, the Holy Spirit says that way is not thrown open. Hebrews 10. Verse 20. Let's go to 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have full freedom and confidence to enter this Holy of Holies in the blood of Jesus by this fresh, new, and living way, which He initiated and dedicated and opened for us through the separating curtain. So, here we go. We enter into the Holy of Holies through the blood of Jesus, which no one could imagine before the time, that Jesus, the Son of God Himself, would be sacrificed in place of the traditional actions that were taking place. So you enter in through that blood, which you can't see in the natural. We don't see it anymore. We want to see it. We want to go back and imagine it, but that blood is more than just red blood. It's that very, listen, Jesus lived by faith as a man. Does that make sense? So the Bible says that very blood is the life, and His very life was poured out. I hope you see that somehow, if that makes sense. Something no one could imagine. And now the way into the Holy of Holies is opened because of that. The Holy of Holies is not this place. It's the place here where God speaks to each one of us, where we hear every voice of affirmation, every voice of direction. Why? Because we stand in awe of what God has done. Traditions puff up, but they have very little fulfillment. Traditions always force an outcome that is inferior to the outcome God has in store for you. Something I realized while prepping for this message is that wisdom is already the satisfaction. If you've tasted God's wisdom alive in your heart, you'll know what I'm saying. But the moment you hear and feel the Holy Spirit, and you hear and you feel and sense that this is the voice of wisdom going forward, then the fulfillment is already planted in your heart. Because you realize, I am a son, and I walk in that, and I walk in what God has called me, and I walk by the, and already I have received the fulfillment. Think about Abraham. You will be the father of many nations. He never saw it, but he walked in that fulfillment because he heard the promise. Human nature strives for fulfillment and never receives it and walks without promise. I mean human wisdom. Human wisdom says, okay, I'm going to experience fulfillment if I do X, Y, Z, B, A, B, what, put it all together, do that for 5 years, and bam, fulfillment. And God says, that's not how it works. How it works is, I declare a promise over you. You walk in it by faith. That faith is the very life that sustains you, and you already walk in the fulfillment. No longer striving for the approval of man, no longer striving to prove yourself, no longer striving to be someone. Why? Because you are already someone. You are my beloved son. You receive the fulfillment from the start. Isn't that amazing? So that's the first temptation, to go back to the old ways. The second temptation is to make your own way. We know the story. Moses goes up onto the mountain and doesn't come down for a long time. The people are going, where's Moses? Where's the voice of God? I can't hear him. We can't hear him. Yeah, we are in the desert. We're all going to die together. We've got to make a plan. And Aaron gets him together and they make a golden calf. I like Aaron. He says, today we will have a feast towards the gods. And at the moment he says that, God speaks to Moses and says, get down there. Moses comes down and they feasted on the golden calf in punishment. Now, here's the thing. Don't be tempted to make your own way. I know that's hard. Man, it's hard. But you've got to wait for the voice of God. And if you've tasted it, you've sensed it, you've heard it, you'll never do anything else but walk inspired by his voice, with that wisdom burning in your heart. Third temptation, and there's more than just these, but I'm just going to name these three. The third temptation is to listen to someone else's word. There's a story that I've shared before here, but it scares me the most in the Bible. It's in 1 Kings 13. This young prophet comes to the king Jeroboam and he says, God says, I'm going to raise up, God says he's going to raise up a man with the name of Josiah. He's going to sacrifice your priests that sacrificed to false gods. He's going to sacrifice them here on God's altar. And he says, the sign that this is true what I'm saying, The sign I'm going to leave you is that the altar is going to crack in two and the ash is going to fall out. How many of you know that's a pretty strong word from a prophet? And Jeroboam the king goes, grab him. He wants to grab this young prophet. And as he does that, his arm shrivels up. And now Jeroboam realizes, oh shucks. And while he's looking at his arm, the altar splits in two and the ash pours out. So how many of you would like to walk with a prophetic gift like that? like, just walk around and be like. So Jeroboam goes, oh my word. He's like, help me, pray for me. So the prophet turns around and goes, he prays for him and he's healed. And Jeroboam says, okay, thank you, I hear you. Obviously, you guys are all going to be like, I hear you. He says, come and have dinner with me. And this young prophet says, God told me not to eat or drink in this place. Don't eat bread. Do not drink water. Those are his words. Don't. There's always something spiritual that takes place when you partake of an environment. And the environment in that day was, this is our own. We're doing this by our own. We're not listening to God anymore. We're doing things our own way. So don't become part of that. So the prophet had a word. God said, don't eat or drink in this town. He says, I'm not going to eat or drink in this town. He gets on his donkey and he goes. And then the Bible says, but another prophet in the town, an older prophet, heard what had happened. And he rode up behind this young prophet and he said, hi, I'm also a prophet. I had an angel visit me. And the angel said, come and eat and drink in my house. What did the young prophet do? The prophet who had just seen the king's hand shrivel up, the altar break into, says, all right, I'll come eat and drink in your house. So the old prophet lays out a dinner for him. The young prophet sits down. They have a lekker lunch. And as soon as they finished with the lekker lunch, the old prophet says, God said you may not eat or drink in this place. You won't see your home tonight, and you won't be buried with your fathers. Like, God, what are you doing? And the young prophet was killed. He was eaten by a lion on the way home. That's not the end of the story, but that's a whole nother sermon. God says today, don't go running from prophet to prophet unless you've heard God's voice for yourself. Don't run from prophet to prophet unless you've heard God's voice for yourself. Too many people are waiting for someone to bring them a message. Thus says the Lord. Instead of hearing the word for themselves. Instead of hearing what God has for them. God is a God who wants to have a deeply personal relationship with you, with us. And he doesn't want to speak through other people to you. He wants to speak to us directly. His word alive in our hearts. And so in Thessalonians, Paul writes, he says, don't scoff at the prophetic words, but test them and prove them. And look for the good in them. In other words, look for what God has already spoken to you. Look for the call of identity over your life. Look for the call of promise. We should already carry it before the prophet comes. And if a prophet comes, we test it as the young prophet should have. Our role, and I want to say this, our role as church leaders is not to speak God's word to you. And no pastor, leader, prophet's role is supposed to be to speak God's word to people. If our job is done properly, we've led people to the voice of God. That's what our role is. My role is not to be the voice of God on your behalf. If that makes sense. On His behalf. Our role, our job, is to guide everyone to the voice of God. And that really is the role of every believer, is to be the light to the world. That means we're a light that says, come and hear the voice of God for yourself. Come and taste how good it is. Come and experience His presence for yourself. Come and experience how good it is to be in His presence. Come and hear for yourself, because each and every person is a beloved son or daughter. And God wants to speak as clearly to everyone as what He speaks to some of the best leaders, some of the best speakers, some of the best preachers you've ever heard. If you've listened to someone and you said, wow, that person hears so clearly, ask God to speak to you in the same way. Don't wait for them to always get the word on your behalf. It would be so much more fun if I was preaching and the church was going, yeah, we heard that. Oh yeah, we've seen that too. Yes, we're running with that. And so faith is activated in the body because we're hearing the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is alive. I want to finish. Sometimes we hear God's word and it's good and it tastes so good. And we're like, oh, that's just such a good word. Oh, it feels good for a day. And then down the road, you forget what God has spoken. And you forget how good it is. And you forget how great it is to hear His voice and taste it and see it. I just saw something that Moses told the Israelites to do. I'm gonna turn grace, praying grace before you eat, up on its head. I'm going to bring in a new tradition. How many of you pray before you eat? Moses says in Deuteronomy 8:10, when you have eaten and are full, you shall bless the Lord your God for all the good land which He has given you. So it's after you eat. When you've eaten and are full, I always tell this, but I had a friend, he said he only prays once a month. When he walks out of Checkers with his trolley, he says, Lord, thank you for everything in my trolley that I will eat for the rest of the month. Amen. Sought the Lord. I want to challenge it. It's Deuteronomy 8, verse 10. I want to challenge you to practice this for a week, whether you're alone, whether you're in families. Pray before the time. It's good. It's a bit awkward eating before you pray. But before you get up from the table, take the time afterwards to be really grateful for what God is doing in your life. Make it just a sacred moment. Hey, our stomachs are full. We've enjoyed some blessing. Let's just stop and pause in this moment and really thank the Lord, bless the Lord for the good land which He has given us, for our great marriages, for the good school our kids go to. Just take a moment every single, it's just a marker. Don't let it become a tradition, but allow the Spirit to stir inside of you. Why? So that you don't forget how good God is. I think a lot of people have forgotten how good God is. They've forgotten what His voice sounds like, because they've forgotten to go back to Him and come with just a heart of gratefulness and thankfulness. Forgotten to give thanks when they experience the goodness. God wants to hear our voice in the goodness, not just when it's bad. Not just when we're crying out for help. God's like, I hear you. But he wants more thankfulness, more gratefulness, more coming to him in presence and going, God, I'm so grateful. And make it just a thing in your family. Wow, I've experienced this goodness. Let's stop. Let's spend time in his presence giving thanks. So that's what Moses said. He said, beware that you don't forget the Lord your God by keeping his commandments, those things that he speaks to us, and the things which he spoke and which Moses commanded the people. And when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold is multiplied, someone say amen. That's God's word. And all you have is multiplied. When your minds and hearts be lifted up, don't forget God. You will earnestly, verse 18, you will earnestly remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. There's a covenant and a promise that God has given us. And we mustn't forget it. We must be grateful in our times of rest. We must give thanks in our times of fullness, so we don't forget his promise. It's amazing. He speaks again and again and again every time we come with a heart of gratefulness. Is that good? Amen. Let's stand. Let's stand.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Remember to visit our website at www.revivalministry.co.za, where you can sign up to receive more of these powerful messages.